Right? Two blind men. Monday night. Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. It wasn't that strange. I found it very strange. I couldn't believe it when I read that. The Lord didn't need their fish, but He desired them. He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants us. And I thought about how excited Peter must have been whenever he drug those fish out on the bank. Jesus didn't have to ask him to bring those fish. Jesus wanted to see Peter cut a rug down there in the middle of all them flopping fish. I think it brought a joy to his heart to watch that fisherman enjoy the day, the catch. He enjoys watching you have a good time too. Amen? He does. He enjoys being with us when we have a good time. Last night. What? Somebody remind me. What did we preach on last night? The hem of the garment. The hem of the garment. The hem of Him. The hem of Him. This lady was moved in every way. I think I enjoyed the latter part of the sermon as well as any of it. When she was... I can't hardly hear you. I'm giving you hints. Let me do the other one. Falling down. And, yeah, declaring. Trembling her psyche, her soul. Falling down physically, she was all in. And then suddenly, Romans chapter number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It happened in her life just that way. And it happens in all our lives just that way. Amen? We're made in the image of God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Body, mind, spirit. There's been a lot of people that came down the aisle physically and fell down in the altar. With their mouth, they said the right words, and then they went right back out into the world and lived just the way they did before they ever came to Jesus. See, one part was missing. Never had been touched inside. Some people call it jailhouse religion. If you have your Bible tonight, begin turning to the book of Luke, chapter number 7. Luke, chapter number 7. I had a strange occurrence happen today, and the Lord sealed my heart on what we would share tonight, and I won't be long in preaching, but I hope that we're very long in the invitation. First part of the week, Sunday, as a matter of fact, I received a message from one of my best friends, old best friend, his daughter's Facebook Messenger thing. And at the end of the message, it had his name in parentheses, and I took it that he's always losing his phone, doing something crazy, and I thought that he dropped it in the lake or something, and he got her phone and sent me a message that his daddy had died. Because that's what it said. My dad has died. We want you to take part in the service Wednesday. And then he put his name, Greg Cox. And I thought that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and I woke up this morning getting ready. And my daddy was supposed to take part in it too, but he was diagnosed COVID this morning, so he couldn't go. And he said, well, send me Greg's number. And whenever I sent him Greg's number, he looked it up somehow in the obituary, and he said, is Greg's daddy named Greg too? And I said, no, his daddy's name's Wayne. He said, well, you need to look at that message again. And it wasn't my friend's daddy that had passed away. My friend had had a stroke on a motorcycle on a highway Sunday and veered off the road and gone. So I've been mourning today. I knew the miracles that I'd been studying, and I believed what God wanted us to look at. It really sealed it in my heart. Stand with me, if you would, in Luke chapter number 7. I want to begin our reading in verse number 11. The Bible says, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Lord, we pray that you'd give us an understanding of your word tonight. Lord, let it touch our hearts and let us be obedient unto you. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. By his precious blood we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As I begin to look at this miracle, I've been studying the miracles of God since last fall. And whenever I got to this one, one thing that really caught my attention in this was in verse number 15, he that was dead sat up, read these four words with me, and began to speak. But the scripture says nothing about what this young man said whenever he sat up. Boy, my wheels began to turn and that little hamster got to running that cage on the inside. And I thought, what would a dead man say in a crowd of people like there was that day if he just sat up being brought back from the dead? So I've got three or four things I want to share with you tonight that he might have said. Number one, he would have said something about the crowd that was there. Look back at verse number 12, the script, verse number 11. It says, and it came to pass that day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him. Read these three words with me, and much people. Verse number 12, and when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And read these words with me, much people of the city was with her. So we have a procession, a funeral procession going out of a town called Nain. And while they're going out, much people are leaving the city that day. They're at the gate and they're headed toward the cemetery. Here comes Jesus down the road from Capernaum, from Galilee, heading to Nain. And while he's coming down the road, there are much people with him. So there's two crowds of people that have met there that day. I thought about that young man whenever he sat up that day, what he might have said about the crowd that was there as he looked around, and that bunch that he'd been running with was taking him to the graveyard. But there was another bunch that was coming into town, and they're singing quite a different song. Amazing grace. How, and they got the Grateful Dead going on, because they're headed down to the cemetery. And I know that the preacher used to listen to that old AC/DC stuff probably, and all other manner of music. And he's not the only one in here that ever did that. Some of you raise your hand tonight and give me a witness. A lot of us in here run down the wrong road with the wrong crowd for a long time. So I thought what he might have said whenever he raised up and he realize they're fixing to put me in a hole in the ground, and there's another crowd that's going into Nain. I thought about the city of Nain. I thought, what in the world does Nain mean? It's the only place in the Bible I've ever read about it. So I looked up the name, Nain, and it means a very beautiful place. So we got one crowd going into a dark place, into a graveyard. We got another crowd coming into a very beautiful city, and they're on the other hand singing a different song. He began to look around, and I think the first thing that he probably said was, y'all might as well put me down, because I ain't running with y'all no more. Amen. I've seen a lot of people like that first time they met Jesus. Amen. When the Lord raises you up out of an old grave of sin and you look around at what you've been doing and who you've been running with and what direction you... Can I get a witness tonight? The direction that you've been going is the wrong way. I don't want to be wrapped up in a box. I don't want to be put in a hole in the ground. I want to be alive, amen. I want to be with the one that knows how to live, that declares for a man, just reaches up and touches the bier that he's laid out on. They're in a mummified position, I'm sure, laying out there, probably some guys toting him in. Jesus Christ touches the very thing that's got him all wrapped up. And all of a sudden, no matter what the wrapping may be, no matter how many grave clothes he may have on him, the scripture says that he sat up. I wonder what old Wendy Bagwell could have done with that one. Amen. The dead man has sat up and the crowd has stopped. And my friend, everybody is wide-eyed. Amen. They're wondering what's fixing to happen next. I know that he's been dead for 3 or 4 days, but this man has sat up in the middle of the road while we're going down through here to the graveyard. The scripture on a little bit further says something else. The Bible says in verse number 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And I got to thinking about how that he's touched this man, not because of who he is, but he's touched this man because of who somebody else is. My. And I got to thinking about how that the Lord came to me that day and how that he touched me that day. May not have been on behalf of myself, but I had a couple of grandmas that was praying for me. And it might have been because their prayers had done got on past the Milky Way. Amen. And it might have been because I had a mama that was praying for me. And her prayers had done got out of the church altar and past the steeple and done rung heaven's bell. And the Lord had heard all these prayers and he sent the Holy Ghost after me. And that hound from heaven got on my trail and wouldn't leave me alone until finally one day I gave in and said, yes. Yes, Lord. And I went with him too. I wonder what he said that day, not only to the crowd, but I wonder how that Jesus then in verse number 14 came and touched the bier. They that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Verse 15, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. It's like he became a child again. By the way, it was that way with you too. It's that way with everybody that gets born again. Amen. We become children of another world. We become a son of another father. I'm so glad that Jesus told him to go be with his mother. I wondered what he might have said to his mother while he was there that day. And then all of a sudden it came to me. He said, Mama, what'd he say? I love you. Mama, forgive me. Mama, I'd like to spend more time doing the things that we didn't do. Mama, I'm sorry I run out on you all those nights and I worried you to death and I didn't come in whenever I was supposed to come in. Mama, thank you for taking care of my clothes. Mama, thank you for washing me and teaching me how to brush my teeth. Mama, thank you for feeding me all those times that you fed me. Can I get a witness tonight? There's some things that we ought to say to our mama that we haven't said before. And it doesn't matter if you're still at home. You ought to be thanking your mama. It doesn't matter if you've already gone out and you're an adult now and you've got your own family. You may need to go back to your mama and tell her you apologize. He said some things to the crowd and he said some things as a child. But let me say that I believe he said some things to a brand new courier that day. I began to think about what he'd been doing and who he'd been following. And I thought about the word courier, and I think about the mail system every time I think about that courier brings it to you. But there's another term, another area where this word courier is used. If you go on a guided tour into a museum or into the Holy Land, and I glory to God, I got to do that one time. And we had a courier, we had a tour guide that carried us around, and we followed him everywhere that he went. And he'd been there before. We didn't have any doubt about what he was doing or where we was going. And we didn't have any fear. Man, we went down to the Jordan River, and on both sides of the road, the Samaritan Way coming out of Jerusalem down through there, they got chain link fences up. Because back whenever Jordan used to try to fight all the time, they buried landmines out there in that sand. And those landmines are still out there. And we got on that bus going down through there. Whenever we got to the edge of where they baptized folks down there where Jesus got baptized at in the Jordan River, one of the first questions was to the tour guide, said, "Hey man, is it going to be okay? Do we need to stay a long way away from that chain link fence?" He said, "You'll be fine. Just stay on the asphalt that we've got right here." He said, "Don't get off of that and go to the sand. Just stay on there." I said, "Man, I sure am glad I got somebody that's been here before. Amen. Well, I'm glad that I've got somebody with me that knows where I need to go and where I don't need to go." He's a little raised up out of the dead state that he was in, looked around and said, "Hey boys, y'all ain't leading me nowhere anymore." Off of the bier he came and down on the ground and right in behind Jesus. And he says, "Wherever he goes, I'm going to follow." Amen. Wherever he leads, help me a little bit, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ. Here we go. Who loves me so? Wherever he leads, I'll go. I noticed something else in this text as we close tonight, and I got just a little bit more. Scripture says in verse number 16, there came a, read this with me, fear on all. It doesn't say there came a fear on the bunch that was with Jesus. I figured that happened now. I banked on that part. The Bible says there came a fear on both crowds. On all. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm telling you, this bunch had done got bug-eyed on that thing now. This boy has set up out of the dead. And suddenly there came a fear. But note this, it was not terrorism. No, no, no. There is such a thing as a healthy fear. My daddy gave it to me when I was a boy. Ha ha. You know what I'm talking about. My grandma gave it to me when I was a boy. She go out, snatch that tree limb off that tree, wear the backside of them legs. I won't do it no more. I'll be good. And then whenever I was running down to the road after that, and the car was coming down through there, she'd say, "Andy, stop! Whoa!" And the car go by. And I grin and look around and say, "Yeah, Grandma." She had put a fear inside me. That was not a terror. I'm telling you, this boy, whenever he set up, did not look like a zombie. You with me tonight? I'm not talking about a demonic zombie type fear that the devil will put into you. I'm talking about you need to have a fear of Almighty God. Now, these folks didn't get it all right that day. The scripture says that they still don't understand who he is. They declare him to be a prophet, but they do have a reverential fear of him following this. Because if he has the ability to bring somebody back from the grave, is there anything he can't do? I said, is there anything he can't do? There's nothing that this man Jesus can't do. There is absolutely nothing. If you have a problem tonight, the Lord can fix the problem. You need to be obedient unto his voice. If he calls for it, all you have to do is call on him. Amen. If he orders it, you can have it. Come to him tonight. Trust in him tonight. Believe on him tonight. Call on him for a miracle tonight. If he orders it for you, come and get it. But don't name it and claim it. Talk to me. You can't do that. Our Father which art in heaven, help me again. We're going to do that one more time. We started out with the first part of the week. We're going to finish up with it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Here it is. Thy will be. In order for you to have a prayer, a healing, a miracle, a word from God, it don't start with you. It starts with him. When he lays it in your heart, big, plain, simple, you heard it, and you know if you walk out, you're being disobedient to him. You have just lost a ruby for your crown. You have just walked out on one of the best things that ever could have happened. And if you had let it happen, God then might have touched somebody else and saved their soul. But you quenched the spirit. This boy set up as our musicians began to come. This boy sat up, and they had a fear. And then they said, a great prophet is risen up. A great prophet is risen up. He said, I got a little something more than what y'all got. You reckon? He was dead just a little bit ago. He's sitting up talking. He said, y'all may think that a great prophet has risen up, but there's something happened in me a while ago that I believe he's more than a prophet. Amen. Not only do you think a great prophet has risen up, but I'm telling you, I used to have some doubts about everybody rising up. But I tell you, I believe now that one day the horn's going to sound, the trumpet's going to blow, and the dead in Christ are going to rise. Amen. I believe that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. I believe that there's going to be a resurrection of life. I believe that Jesus Christ is in charge of it all. And one day, I'll meet my grandmother in the air. And one day, I'll meet my grandpa in the air. And one day, I'll see the old preacher that used to preach to me. And we'll meet each other in the air. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, changed forever, we'll be come like him, amen, will be known. Even as we are known, we'll go to a glory land like we've never envisioned in all our life. I've tried to preach on heaven for years, but I fail every time. We're going to a land that we'll have no need for the sun, the moon, and the stars, because his glory will light that city, amen. What a wonderful place that we'll go to. He started it all with the first fruits. He was the first one to come up out of the grave. The Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with us. He died for you on Calvary. He was buried for you in a borrowed tomb as they begin to sing and play. And we are about to celebrate Easter.